This is a paid message from GoFundMe.
My name's Ashley Kane. I'm the daddy of a little girl in heaven and a father to two boys on earth. I've got an incredible relationship with GoFundMe, both personally and via my daughter's foundation, the Azalea Foundation. GoFundMe has allowed me, the foundation, and thousands of people out there to give hope to others in need. You'd actually be surprised how many people out there are willing to show love and support you in your time of need. My advice for anyone that needs to start up a GoFundMe would be do it. You don't need to feel shame. You don't need to feel guilt. You don't need to feel embarrassment. If you need GoFundMe, use GoFundMe.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
It's the season premiere of Laverne and Shirley.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
That is a lovely little edit together of some of the music that I've been sharing with
exactly.
Josh. And I was so ready for that. I was really thinking, hey, you got a Mike O'Mara. Yeah. I really, that one, you know, throw
that's
that
like
trash,
a
man.
Rock opera right there. You know what that is? That's an album cut.
Well, it's rock opera mixed with a little countryfied stuff. And, you know, and that just motivates me when he takes what I give him and creates this. It just makes me want to, create more. So
yeah,
that's
you are the George Martin of this show.
Is that the producer of the Beatles?
Yeah, and he would do stuff like that. He cuts stuff together and makes stuff that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so he's the George Martin.
That's what I was saying. I was looking at Josh. You couldn't tell.
Okay,
the screen is small.
And you are the John Lennon.
The writer, musician, creator. Mm-hmm. Even though that's really AI. That's doing that for me. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Anyway, I like that. They gave me a little smile for my Tuesday. Who's Stu Sutcliffe?
The guy who left the band before they hit it big.
I thought it was Pete Best that left the band before
they hit
it big.
No, Pete Best was replaced by Ringo, but Stu Sutcliffe was an art student friend of John's, and he had nothing to do with it.
I never. By the way, it reminds me we'll have Tony Perkins on the show.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He of the anchorman for the NBC affiliate in Washington, D.C., and also a classmate of mine back in the 1800s when we went to class together, and now a podcaster who has brought the podcast back to life, and the podcast is called You Better Think Twice.
That's exactly right. Starring Gary Stein.
Starring Gary Stein.
No, you got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me.
Yes, I know you have fun with that.
You got to be kidding me.
You
got to be kidding me.
Hey, you got to.
We taped with Tony yesterday, and because Tony does a morning thing, is he morning? Is he a morning anchor? Is that
he
is?
Goes? He does 5 a.m. up till 6 a.m. up until the Today Show, and then he does the cutaways from the Today Show.
The funny thing is, if you were fixing to go and look at Tony's career over the last. I guess we could use 20 years. You could take 20 years of his career on television and put every different incarnation of what he's done. And it changes more than any broadcaster, maybe working today, between the time slots and the station changes and the network and this and that.
And the local versus the national. Everything.
Yeah, it's gone kind of goofy. So
do you have a favorite, Tony?
Huh?
A favorite era of Tony?
Yeah,
I do.
And
clearly,
it goes way back, and I go. It goes way before you were aware of it.
Okay,
and it was Tony doing stand up,
He's good. He was very funny.
He was actually quite funny, and he worked with me. Tony goes back not only to American University back in the early 80s, but he goes back to me with WYRE. I know I hired him down at WYRE to do some DJ work down there. So
I think he was with me a long time. The funniest, silly anchor in the morning when they let him on Channel 5. That was my favorite era of Tony when he had left Weather and he started doing Anchor. And he would mess around with Tucker, the weather guy. And there was just so much silliness on that show. But they still got you the news. I thought that was great. But he's never been not great. He does exactly what he does perfectly. We're excited to talk to him.
Great's an overused word.
Mike, we want people to listen.
I understand. So he'll join us later on in the show today. The question that I have at the top of my mind today, my faltering mind, is forgetfulness contagious? Because I am very, now that I'm north of elderly, I have to thank you.
And you become more aware of it during birthday season, don't you not?
No, I become more aware of it when I will do something like I did last night, where I will be putting dishes away. And by the way, lovely meal prepared by Mrs. O'Mara last night. Real family sit-down din-din, which we don't get to do much as we'd like. It was just a regular steak and a homemade Caesar salad, and it was absolutely yummy.
Did you get kicked out of the cooking duties after last week?
I contributed by the easiest way that I will cook a steak ever is to throw Mrs. O'Mara's and mine into the broiler, and then Michael pan-fried his on the stove. The stove, which will come into play as well later in the broadcast. Actually, right now, I'll tell you about the stove. But as I'm putting stuff away, I'll have something in my hand that has no business being on even the side of the kitchen I am on, and I'm going deliberately over to the location to put it away, and then I'll look at it, and I'll say, what are you doing? And then I say to myself, I'll pause in my own mind, and I'll say, this is the beginning. This is it. This is when it starts to wig out, and you start to, you know, fade. And then many, many times, Rob and I, for as long as I can remember doing this show, and we've been doing this show well over a decade, where I will say, who's that guy thinking, because I've forgotten it, and Rob doesn't do anything but the same thing. And so I can't remember it either, even though this would be something that would be top of mind.
Right.
So the two questions are, should I be concerned about these little things? And I just would love to, at some point, get a specialist on gerontology. Is that what it's called? The study of the aged, about,
mortuary sciences, isn't it?
Yeah. For the dead.
That's right.
I really would
know. You want like a countdown doctor?
I'd like to know the internet is filled with warning signs, but more importantly, the internet is filled with methods of preserving your brain. And, you know, they sell Prevagen and they do all that.
Let me offer this, Mike. You know, it started for me about 5 years ago. One evening, I couldn't find the remote control and I looked for probably 20 minutes and it was in the pocket of my hoodie. I had put it in the pocket of my hoodie so I wouldn't forget where it was.
Right.
Then that was followed by looking for my glasses when they're up here and looking around the entire house for my glasses when I'm literally wearing them.
But I should point out that you are a full decade younger than
That's
I am.
That's true, so but it starts
you participating
light.
In this discussion is not... I
have a third point, though.
All right.
My father took Prevagen and it killed him.
Are you saying you're not a believer in that product?
No. To be perfectly honest, that was just a joke.
I've heard snake oil.
No, my father believed in Prevagen. He did. He took it and he said it helped his memory.
Lewis Black does a bit. If you could find, well, we can do it on the bonus show. Lewis Black on Prevagen, which is just funny as hell. And we probably have to edit. What beverage are you chewing on today?
This is something that Carrie bought, and I'm kind of into it in the morning. It's just seltzer water.
Good for you.
Ice cold bubbly water is not bad.
Josh, we have to applaud our guy here. My goodness
gracious.
It's a
step in the right direction. Now, the problem...
You have no idea how that makes me feel. It thrills me that you're doing that as opposed to...
Well, I've got this too, but I just haven't opened it yet. I've got my Coke.
Yeah, well, then why don't you throw it in the garbage?
Because you pay money for it, Mike.
Yeah, but it's also killing you. You can't do that.
The seltzer, you know what? Baby steps. Help me.
Yeah, well, you're sucking on seltzer right now, and I, because I'm loyal, are they no longer with us, Liquid IV, or are they still going to be coming back?
Oh, no, they're a presence.
All right, they're absolutely a presence? All right, good.
Yeah.
He didn't answer. The guy that does the ad buys didn't answer. What's the deal? I don't like that face. I don't like that face.
I haven't seen a check from them in a while.
But there's no reason they would go.
You're not involved in this.
Well, Mike, I do write the copy. I'm in on this.
But when it comes to the dollars, you're not. You don't know whether he knows whether they're participants or not.
They come and go, whether they're leaning in podcasts or suddenly happy with Costco sales.
Okay.
So I'll have to check on them to see where we're at.
Little nudge, maybe a little reminder. One of my faves. Right. You might want to say that. Look at that. Maybe send this tape to him. Hi, Liquid IV. Love you.
Mike, the problem with Prevagen my father had is he never remembered to take it.
I don't know whether it's snake oil or not. I really don't know.
It was so funny. Not funny, but just the way it was when my father passed and Kathy and I were cleaning out all of my father's effects. And he was pills left to right all day. And Prevagen came up, and I asked her about it. I said, I didn't know he was taking it. He said he loved it. He really thought it made a difference. So maybe you should try it.
Isn't that, though, the whole thing with he really thought it made a difference? And you know what? I mean, who knows?
Maybe
right?
He forgot about all the things he hated about it.
Isn't that the best product to have in the world? A product where who can really tell?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
There's no scientific
American advertising since the 1950s has come up with medical studies that are absolute BS.
Yeah.
4 out of 5 doctors, you know, prove it. Line them all up shoulder to shoulder across the nation and find out, right?
Right. It's the part of a balanced breakfast.
Part of a balanced breakfast. Yeah.
Where the cereal's got nothing to do with the balanced part.
Yeah. I always focused on the orange juice.
By the way, I was talking about sugar yesterday, and man, oh man, hopped on the scale today. Yeah, that 2 pounds I was so happy about dropping last week came right back to roost. Mr. Ice Cream, Captain Lard-Ass Ice Cream Sucker.
Fast weight gain goes away fast if you stop in your tracks and just get back on
track. I didn't expect it, but I shouldn't be surprised at all, you know.
Go into morning, you'll lose weight.
Go into mourning. Have you lost a lot of weight since you've been grieving?
Probably about 10 pounds, yeah.
We'll see. You look good. Yeah, and your color looks very good. Not so good down when you were dealing with all that crap. So
I was sort of sad.
I really don't think there was a paler man in Miami than you. I think
it was also a bad camera most of the time.
There was some of that. But
10
yeah, I
of
mean.
Tears.
For 10 pounds of tears, the Rob Spiewak story.
It was
only towards the end of it that I was actually like going outside and enjoying Miami for what it is, the sun and fun capital of the world.
Sure.
And then I did get a little color. But, when you're grieving, but
I can tell your whole breathing thing, you're feeling better, you're coming back out of it, and you look good. You look really
thank
good
you.
Today.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that you're
appreciate
healthy.
It.
Keep drinking the seltzer. I think that has something to do with it as well. You were going to say something, Josh.
Well, and the bronchitis medicine.
Yes.
I think
going
to the doctors
the steroids
and bronchitis
help,
under control helped.
For me, the annual physical is coming up. I think it is. My effing doctor's office. They just say, check in for your appointment. And
going to Costco for your medical work?
No, I'm going to my guy Jason. And,
Jason
Voorhees. This is Jason.
Do you remember our intern? It was Jason, and he was here. What are you? This is Jason.
This is Jason. That's what it was. That was it. Hello, who's on the line? Jason.
Spent 6 months with us. That's what he brought to the show.
I have been to my family doctor's office where I've walked in and I've said something like, ready for the physical. Oh, it's not that. It's whatever this. We wanted to check this.
Yeah.
I don't know. So but I'm not going to call because then I get into the call center and I don't want to deal with that at all. So Thursday, 2 p.m., Thursday afternoon, I'll be ready to go. And then, you know, probably tape a show right after that.
That's awesome. Make sure they don't turn you into bone marrow broth. That's, you know, that's a trend right now. You don't want them to boil you down.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Broth is a thing that people like drink when they're fasting.
Well, bone broth has been around for a couple of years.
I don't know why he's putting you in the soup.
Because when you said you go in and you don't know what they're going to do, I'm just saying, you know, be aware of yourself. Be your own advocate. I just want to go.
I don't like dealing with it. You know, there's stuff that I stay current with and stuff I don't stay current with. The down here, you have to be very aware of the sun and sun exposure, and I probably could be a little more diligent.
I thought you were talking about Michael.
No, he's you have to be aware of the sun. Doing fine. Hopefully he gets his baseball game in tonight. Yes, sir. Yeah. Josh?
Well, yeah, you got to cover him up when he's out in the sun.
Getting back to the
whole... I was referring
to
him as the sun, though.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Getting back to dinner last night, I've talked many times about this home that was occupied by two... I believe elderly people before we moved into it, and now it's got another elderly person in it. And the appliances, the house has been great. The bones of the house, you've been here, both of you have been here. The bones of the house, super solid. Really
solid.
Really,
everything seems to be plumb and
well
level.
Built.
Yes.
If you were going through the issues with the home right now, I would say if somebody dropped a new set of windows in the windows, I wouldn't be upset about it, to be honest with you.
You know, but that's any house.
I think so. And the appliances, however, really pretty much the only two left. From the original batch. Got a little trash compactor that I think is way, way overpriced. So I'm gonna keep that
until
it dies.
Such a throwback. Yeah. That's such a throwback to the 1970s, a trash compactor.
I think you can buy one now. You can buy one now. Sure. They actually still make this one. But we keep it because it actually is a nice thing to have, and we use it. And, you know, it doesn't require a lot of maintenance, but it's definitely long in the tooth when I see that. And this house was 2006. So it would have been put in new at that particular time.
So this house has been through two different Trump administrations.
It has. Yeah. Absolutely. Sadly so.
Bless its heart. Is it a General Electric?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I remember our trash compactor when we had the world's smallest kitchen. The kitchen was the size of a good, like, desk. That's how big the kitchen was. And we had a trash compactor that was an aftermarket. We just set it down and used it. It wasn't built in. So we lost more floor space, but it served as like a countertop. But it was what I remember, and I was a kid, is that it took the trash and just made it too heavy. It was really hard to change the bag. Yeah.
Is how heavy it gets if it just compacts
it. It doesn't. I've been using this for 10 years and almost 10 years. So it's fine. The other.
Are you keeping it in case one of the dogs needs to have an accident? Be a great murder.
What?
When you talk about, you know, you talk about getting
rid of your
dogs.
I like it when you're not healthy. Yeah, that makes the show go better.
Water?
Yeah, what is it, a stimulant or something like that? I'm totally
all I'm saying is, Mike,
and I'm trying to get to my destroyed appliance here. You know?
Several times you have mentioned that you want to get rid of one or both of your dogs. And I'm thinking a compactor accident would be an excellent way to, you know, so I don't know what happened.
You just used about 500 more words than you needed. It basically put the dog in the trash compactor and kill it, right?
If you want to be very, very, you know, I like to keep it vague.
Okay.
And you got to leave the door open so you can say it might have ran out.
Mm-hmm. Or run out. So here's the thing. I got a cooktop, and they still sell these, too.
Yep.
And the cooktop is a GE, and I think their high-end line is called Profile.
Yep.
It's GE Profile.
Is this electric or gas?
I'm sorry? What?
Electric or gas?
Gas. Natural gas.
And I looked at it.
I have this, and it's been, you know, cooktops, I think, probably age quicker than other appliances because they're so used, and you use them all the time.
Yeah, but the technology is ancient and simple.
Yep, it is simple, but it's dead.
Do you have a Do you have an exhaust hood above it, or do you have your exhaust in the cooktop?
We have a downdraft exhaust.
And explain that.
You turn a fan on that we never use,
right?
And it goes down into the cabinetry and out a vent that way. We are going to be, let me get to the whole thing. This thing has been used for a long, long time, and it's had its best day. But nothing's malfunctioning on it, so we keep using it. And why change it? And then one of the burners stops turning. And I remove the cap. It doesn't push down. It doesn't come up. And I'm cleaning it when I find this out. And I'm cleaning it, and I'm doing a deep dive. And I've been, I have been adjusting this, fiddling with it, monkeying around with it for a very, very long time. And I'll let it go because we got three other burners that work, and then I'll get back to it when I'm cleaning it again. And I'm like,
but it's so frustrating. You want your fourth burner.
You want your fourth burner. Yeah. And so it's something to do with the when you put gas on, you press down on the dial and then turn it and then click, boom, and it lights.
Most designs, every burner will click when it's in the light mode. But only the gas flows from the one you're turning on. So that's the only one.
Because you're pushing that release down for the gas. Mm-hmm. So this is not working. And I've got three-in-one oil. I've got different types of lubricants that I'm trying to put down. I'm doing deep cleans with a screwdriver to see if there's anything that, got frozen in there or is a gribbly that I need to get out of there. And I'm going on and on and on. And then I get pliers to see if I can pull it and push it with pliers. And then
frustration level ascending as you do this, or are you
not
losing?
Really? Not
okay,
really.
Good. I just, because that's what would result in breaking.
Kind of realizing I probably should get a new one.
Yes. All your work on the knob or also the burner?
I'm using the knob because the burner has nothing to do with it. This is the control knob that is frozen solid and will not work. And I'm back. So I said, I wonder if I was to loosen this by just tap, tap, tap with the, not a hammer, but with a handle of a wrench. You get the pliers and then you get the wrench that
first the gas leak. First, Josh, he lights some candles.
Yes.
Then you start tapping the gas.
Then I turn the gas on. And I'm trying to tap this thing I feel like it has to be freed up. To see what's going to happen with it.
Right.
And so I tap, tap, tap.
Is it turning?
No, that did not happen. No. It's not turning. It's not pushing up and down. It's not doing anything.
It's toast.
I'm taking pliers and I'm kind of narrowing the little tube to see if that'll change something. It's got a little pan underneath it. That's the thing that goes up and down. Mm-hmm. And so I take this.
You are handy.
I take this wrench. Yes. And the wrench has a relatively heavy, it's not a full-fledged plumber's wrench, but it's got, it's a regular wrench that you dial close
a
to.
A crescent wrench.
And the crescent wrench has a pretty heavy handle. And I said, let me just give it a little tap. And I go, tap. And I guess it's either ceramic or maybe glass or whatever.
The
cooktop goes.
Oh no!
And then it's still working,
but it looks great.
It looks real. Well, it's all black, and it's okay. But you don't want to keep it.
I was in a similar situation. Is that for some reason the wiring got crossed, and every time the clicker worked to light, the fuse would blow. So I had to leave the fuse off, and for probably a year. We used a lighter, like a grill lighter, to turn on the gas and light it. And I finally got sick of it. And I went to Frigidaire, who is my favorite company right now. And what happened is we also had the center downdraft fan that we didn't use. Frigidaire makes a 5-burner gas stove where you just totally eliminate the fan.
Okay.
And the middle burner is huge. It's probably twice as powerful.
Really glad you mentioned that.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Because it was time. It was time. It's like Bruce Buffer. It's time! Mrs. O'Mara and I out to the box store. She has some sort of cardi-wardy for the big box store promotion where she's got a card she can use. It's either a gift certificate or it's a credit or whatever. But she's got this
Kohl's
thing.
Kohl's cash.
And we roll out to the box store and we have purchased. What's the one you like so bad?
Frigidaire.
We have purchased, I believe it is a KitchenAid.
Oh, it's a good brand. Oh, it's good.
Look at him.
That's exciting.
He doesn't know anything about it, but he can sell it.
Well, no, KitchenAid is legendary. Yeah. Think of the KitchenAid
for
mixer.
For their mixers.
But they're not going to put their name on something shabby.
Well, I was never enamored of the GE products.
GE will always have the mantle of being contractor grade appliances to fill a kitchen when you build a house.
Good, good.
Now you can upgrade on GE, but I've always been a little bit suspicious because I think you're probably getting largely the same guts, just in a fancier presentation.
So,
and they'll tell you, oh, but the new GE dishwasher is quieter. I said, well. But does it not break? It's very quiet. That's all they'll lean on. I don't necessarily like GE that much.
So this guy at the box store says, first of all, we're there. And he said, well, how big is it? I said, well, it's like 30 by 21, 22, which is the standard size. It's either 36 or it's 30. And we don't have a giant house. So it's 30
inch. We have a 90.
And so the guy says to me, all right, well, just so you know, I said, now you do the installation. How much is that? And he gives me the number for that. And he says, and they'll also take the old one away. However, and I'm like, okay, here we go.
Here it comes.
Because the reason he's not selling Aston Martins and the reason he's working in Lowe's is because he couldn't pull a real sale out of his ass. We have already decided on this product. Mm-hmm. And so he says for the first time, he said, now just be aware if the area on the countertop isn't matched to it. He does not cut out the extra space. I said, okay, well, I'm pretty sure they're pretty universal. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem. There's a little overhang. I'm sure there's some play in that. He says, now why are you shaking your head? Now you're making me concerned.
Because now you're telling me you didn't measure before going to the box store.
I did.
Oh,
you did.
All right. Yeah. You mentioned 30. All right. Yeah. Then you're good.
Yeah, good.
You're good.
He was trying to instill doubt in
you. Let me finish
what
I'm telling you the story here, all right? So it's 30 by 21, 22, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
They all say 30 by 21. I think that it's either, they all say either 30 by 21 or 30 by 20. I forgot which number it was. So he says, just be aware, if it's not the right fit, he doesn't cut granite away. He doesn't cut the countertop away.
Right.
And then he says it once. While we're standing there, let me see if we've got it in stock. And he goes, but everything is just, you know, you stupid ass. I know you probably don't get, you don't get commission, but, you know, can you make it a little more positive,
Mike,
please?
When I was in sales, satisfaction was my commission.
All right, here's the thing. The guy says, then we come, he comes back, goes, all right, we have it in stock. It should be 7 to 10 days. You get a call from one of our installers. Now, listen, remember, if it's not the perfect, I said, you said that before. I said, if it's not the right size, we have to get somebody to come out and cut that out. Then we said, okay, so we've got it. All right, I look at Carl. I said, does that work for you? I said, it works for me. Let's get this one. And then she gets up to the counter. At the counter, before he starts doing any of the math about what this guy says, now just be aware, I said, of the space. They don't cut it away. And he smiles. And he said it two more times. Before the this is a guy who obviously got his balls in the ring.
It happened once before
because it happened to him, and now I am fully aware that they could bring this thing out, and it might not be the perfect fit because it's a different brand.
Sure.
But they, the waiting game begins now. And Rob, you'll be happy to know we are eliminating the downdraft. We'll probably have to seal it off.
That's what we did. Yeah.
And then we are going to have the fifth burner smack in the middle of that.
Will change your life.
Now tell me why it will change my life.
Because if you just need to bring a pot of water to boil, say you're having corn on the cob or noodles or something like that, it cuts, Mike, any carb.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Don't get distracted.
It will boil. It will boil twice as fast because you got that many more BTUs coming up. Now, do you have, does it have like a raised grade or do you sit it right on the, I guess
you sit it right on the, you sit it pretty much flush to the counter.
One thing, and you've mocked me about this before, but one thing that I love is that because it is five burners, all of the grade or the grill that holds the pot is at the same level. So you can slide pots around without having to pick them up. And, you know, if a big hot boiling pot of water, it's not the kind of thing you want to just grab and pick up. That's
perfect for people with, now that I have 30% diminished capacity in my left arm.
Well, what, Mike, I do is I boil water and I wash mats for shut-ins. But it's, you laugh, but it's good. Does it have an optional?
The boiling
Mike, pot. Did you know that a pot will weigh, you know, 2 pounds? A gallon of water is 8.5 pounds. That's 10 pounds of searing hot water.
What did you take this morning? What is wrong with you this morning? What meds are you on? I said you
Mike,
look good.
I'm more the same than I've ever been.
God
you're acting
almighty.
Like you're a curling champion with your pots sliding around.
No, it's just it's a nice
details.
Feature.
All right, we have to break, okay? We have to break now.
I'm
glad you have energy. It's always nice that you're feeling better. You are feeling better today. Later in the show, we got Tony Perkins, and we'll take a break and come back with some of the tidbits of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Friends, a quick warning. Beware of the takers. You know the type. They listen to the free show Monday through Thursday and give nothing back. Tisk, tisk. For shame. But us, we're different. We're the givers. We give you the bonus show every Friday. We've got the goods, unfiltered, unrestricted, all access and fun. Because more access means more laughs. You deserve the good stuff, the extra stuff. We're talking TMOS extras. Unpredictable bonus content you won't find anywhere else. Or go big with the commercial free feed, complete with the bonus show every single week. Sign up today because your bonus subscription keeps this whole party rolling. You fuel the fun, and we keep it coming. So smash that bonus show tab at MikeO'MaraShow.com and jump in. The water's fine. Be a giver. It feels great, and the laughs are guaranteed. Guaranteed laughs, people. Yay! Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you with us on the Mike O'Mara Show. And make no mistake, I am always happy when someone's not feeling well and then they're feeling well. So I'm very, very happy that Rob is on the road to recovery.
Glad to be here. This is my favorite part of the day.
And for the last 5 years, it's been what's wrong with Rob. And I'm really, really happy.
Can't wait
that he's
for the
back.
Next edition of it.
Yes,
you know, we'll see what happens next.
Going to maintain your health. U.S. President Donald Trump said Monday that he is not at all concerned about committing possible war crimes. Okay.
Well, that's good.
It's Bridges and Power Plant Day.
That's right. It is.
8 o'clock tonight, the deadline. Yes. He continues to threaten the destruction of Iran's bridges and power plants if they don't meet his Tuesday. Calm down. Close the mouth. I'm just going to read the story, please. Thank you. At 8 p.m., the deadline tonight to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Speaking to reporters at the White House, the president refused to say whether any civilian targets would be off limits. Iran on Monday rejected a 45-day ceasefire proposal and said it wants a permanent end to the war. Iran's state-run IRNA news agency said Tehran conveyed its response through Pakistan, a key mediator. And here's the quote, "We only accept an end of the war with guarantees that we won't be attacked again." So there it is. And
it
we'll
is
wait
the
and
greatest
see.
Night of television, though, because you have Wheel, Jeopardy, and then is Power Plant and Bridges Day. It's the deadline at 8, and it's fantastic. So get the kids, get ready, pop some popcorn.
He's unhinged. He is unhinged. I am worried. I'm worried for everybody.
Be not worried. Be not worried.
Why not? Why do you say that? For what reason do you say that?
Because
be not worried.
Because
they're not attacking Leesburg.
No, and they're not attacking Florida either. Yeah, but what you can do.
Be aware of the world events here, you know?
I'm aware of it. But you know what? This is... If you worry and you drive yourself nuts,
I'm not.
It's still going to happen.
No, but take out that Woodrow Wilson Bridge and then you'll care.
Yeah, he'll care. He'll care if it's in his backyard.
The casino is on my side, right?
So. We are all complacent about this. This is the war nobody gives two S's about. That's the thing that
concerns me, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, we have, as news coverage, completely forgotten there's another war going on. Mm-hmm. With the Ukraine-Russia war.
Yep.
Where Russia had the same exact response to a ceasefire. No, we just want it to end.
Right.
And now it's just still going on.
Still going on and on and on. So I don't know, but I don't like the there was a list of how many changes he's made in statements to the press where he comes out without any briefing and without any consistent response. And look, I don't know. It just and believe it or not, I am concerned about one thing, civilian loss of life. I don't care if it's Iran. It's the Iranian people that hate their leaders, too. Mm-hmm. We'll wait and see. But we don't need this, man. We don't need this tension in our lives. We don't need this these arbitrary deadlines. And meanwhile, China and Russia, you know, kind of sitting back and going, okay, we're waiting. We're going to see what's going to happen here. So it's just, it freaks my ass out. It really does. So wait and see what happens. We finally know who will take Stephen Colbert's time slot after The Late Show airs its finale on May 21st. And
this fascinates me.
I can't. This is an SMH moment. I just. Yeah. Comics Unleashed with the very unknown Byron Allen.
Is this
the same Byron Allen we're talking about?
Mike, let me offer you this. Byron Allen was probably at his most visible when he was a co-contributor to the show Real People in the 1980.
Yeah, and he's been around forever.
Yes, but he came out of the spotlight and started buying TV and made a fortune. He created an idea of giving his programming away for free and getting 50% of the ad revenue from whoever got his programming, used that money to create high-definition networks like PET TV. Do you know what his value is right now?
No, I don't.
$1 billion.
He is actually, as Rob said, he is paying CBS for the time slot, and he's paying for the following hour as well to air his comedy game show, Funny You Should Ask.
That has John Lovitz on it.
He said, now when they say, Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen, he will be on the television show, correct?
I think he'll be hosting stand-ups, like he'll do the wraparounds for stand-ups. And the other one's a proper game show, yeah.
Here's his quote, I created and launched Comics Unleashed 20 years ago so my fellow comedians could have a platform to do what we all love, make people laugh. I truly appreciate CBS's confidence in me by picking up our two-hour comedy, you're paying them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Thank you for accepting my offer, is what he's saying.
Because the world can never have enough laughter. Blah, blah, blah,
but it's a great deal for CBS, and I'm glad it's something different and not the late-night format that's not working.
Not
a shot at Stephen Colbert, just none of the late-night shows work anymore.
I haven't watched CBS late night. I don't watch late night anymore at all, but I certainly haven't watched CBS, so this doesn't affect me whatsoever.
Well, and it's tough when you just watch Jimmy Fallon every night.
I love Jimmy Fallon. God, he's funny. Funny.
Anyway, I wish I could defend Stephen Colbert, but I can't. Sorry.
No, I can't either.
It was never my bag, man. Weight loss drugs like Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Wegovy can free some people of pounds, and it can also free them of their toxic marriage. According to new research, people who undergo rapid weight loss are twice as likely to divorce. The study focused on people who had been fitted with gastric bands, but the idea is that it could extend to the rise in GLP-1 drugs. These are the people trying to slam the GLP-1s.
Yep, exactly.
The study didn't even involve the GLP-1s, which I've been on and have been very successful
with. I mean, this also goes back to when they say, beware of the woman that gets plastic surgery. She's looking to get out. I'm still stuck with her. So
here it
I mean,
is. Listen to this. This was a gastric band study.
Because
it's an older study. They recycled it to slam. So according to the study of 12,500 married patients, more than 14% divorced within 6 years of losing a lot of weight, compared with 8% among the wider population. Experts believe there are several reasons this may be happening. This is not rocket science, as far as I'm concerned. Here they are. For one thing, people who commit to weight loss treatments like this are clearly comfortable making big life changes. They're probably becoming more social and trying to live a healthier life. If their partner isn't on board, it could cause tension. Also, losing weight may make them feel more self-confident about moving on, particularly if the relationship isn't good or a happy place. An expert says it's not that losing a large amount of weight is ending healthy marriages. This is about people trying to improve their lives. It's worth pointing out studies into the link between weight loss drugs and divorce rates would need to follow people for a long time. And since these drugs are relatively new, it'll be, we still give you the headline.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
That's how it works. You're manipulated, people. Well,
they just want to lose another 150 pounds fast.
Yeah, that said, they just fast, don't care.
150 ugly pounds.
I mean, give me a break.
But
hate
this
that
goes
stuff.
Back. I mean, this could have been the same study in 1900 about a man that bought a new suit. Why is he buying the new fashionable suit to look good, to get some trim, and then dump the wife?
Yeah, and you know, and those stats are weird because they don't even involve the GLP one, so you shouldn't have even. They just put that on the study to get some clickbait. Yeah. In our Why You Care segment today.
Yeah. I love this segment.
Rumors are already starting about Spider-Man, Brand New Day, and people seem to think that the end, this next movie is the end for Peter Parker. Peter Parker, pick peppers. One insider says the movie will, quote, end badly, and there will be a big cliffhanger. Fans also think that a Kraven's Last Hunt comic storyline could play out where Kraven, does anyone know these characters I'm talking about?
I do.
About?
I'm just trying to figure out how this got into your news feed.
I thought once in a while I want to, you know, because, well, it's the,
see,
you know.
I doubt this because the power of Spider-Man, is he strong? No. Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood.
No, here's the gist. Yes, they'll kill Spider-Man. Because they've got a huge Avengers movie in December where they can bring him back to life.
All right, so fans think a Kraven's Last Hunt comic storyline could play out. Kraven captures Spider-Man, buries him alive, and impersonates him for several weeks. Some fans also think Hulk and Spider-Man could fight to the death. Neither, and the reason I put the story in, because of Tom Holland, because he's so dreamy. Neither Tom Holland nor his co-stars like Zendaya are listed in the Avengers Doomsday cast, but that doesn't mean too much. Since Marvel is known for not wanting to give too much away. Brand new
except
day.
They're doing this press release.
This isn't, this is random people
speculating. Oh, I'm sure.
It's why
it's all made up stuff.
Yeah. Hits theaters on,
when Kraven is pretending to be Spider-Man, is it going to be like when Jim Carrey pretended and had that double go to the awards ceremony?
You'd have to ask the rest of his family, the Moorhead family. That was one we used to use with the huge erection.
Great for the airport,
Hello? Is there a Kraven Moorhead? Is there a Kraven Moorhead?
Not the best one, though.
No, but it's still funny when you put it in that context.
Major Woody.
Paging Major Woody. It feels like more young adults are still living with their parents. Well, you're not imagining it. A new report shows about 33% of Americans between the ages of 18 and 34 are still living with their parents. The highest levels ever were during the pandemic when everything shut down. For reference, back in 1960, only about 22% of young adults lived at home. And I'm sure you can guess the reason. It's money. Everything is so expensive and wages haven't kept up. The top three states.
I don't like that age range. It's too big of a
window. The 18 to 34.
Yeah, I want to know how many people 26 to 34 are still living at home.
Because
the others don't bother me.
It's teenagers. I get
that. Well, I think that isn't it 25 when they're no longer covered by your insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
so. I think they should be out by 25. Yeah,
I think 25. You should be on your own.
However, I do love.
Salute to my daughter Elizabeth, moved out of my ex's house a while back and into their own place, probably 2-3 years ago, and now getting another place in that delightful suburb of Washington D.C. Alexandria. Yeah. Yes, that's where Elizabeth works now.
I love having Robert at home. I feel for him because I don't think he likes being at home. Because, you know, he's still with his folks and it's, you know, it's not his own place. And in school for four years, he had his own place.
Does he articulate that to you that he doesn't like?
No, I just get the feeling, you know, if you were living with your folks, you'd feel a little restrained, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he refer to you as his roommates?
Calls me his landlord. He says, hey, Mr. Roper.
Let me see. Money's the reason. Top three states that do it where kids living at home, Jersey, Connecticut, and California. And the states where young adults are least likely to live with their parents, North Dakota. That sounds like an employment thing because there are a lot of jobs in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. Wyoming and South Dakota. So all those states up in the West.
Cheaper starter homes.
In the Dakotas.
Yeah.
And they're hiring people all the time. All the time they're hiring kids to maintain Mount Rushmore. Get up there and clean those heads, boys.
No, I think it's oil. It's maybe oil up there.
Yeah, and ranching, I think. It's ranching. Yeah,
I don't know.
A lot of cow jobs.
You made that up. You don't know that, whether it's
ranching. Well, no, I mean, it's wide open land. Wouldn't you think ranching?
It is. There's a lot of cows up there.
Moo.
Thank you. Appreciate that. There's a company called Oddbird that produces non-alcoholic wines, Mr. Spiewak, and de-alcoholized champagne. Now, this champagne is supposed to have the craft and taste of an elevated sparkling beverage, and you definitely pay for it. A bottle of fake champagne costs $100, and believe it or not, there's a wait list for this stuff. It's cheaper than fancy alcoholic champagne, which can be hundreds of dollars a bottle. Sure. The company says that's a bargain because, quote, the process of de-alcoholization is not cheap. You're getting a premium experience that delivers ritual, community, and artistry. And you have to pay for that. Would you be interested in a de-alcoholized champagne?
No. I mean, you know what? The Martinelli's apple juice. I think champagne, you're out to get ripped, I mean, fine, drink champagne. But champagne is not so special that without its pleasant side effects, it's important to me.
Never been a big fan.
But you know, good champagne is great. It really can be. But
I like it. I like a mimosa. I like a mimosa. Yes. But mm-hmm. Regular champagne, I just doesn't do it for me.
Mike, I always enjoyed a Greyhound, which was gin and grapefruit juice.
Gin and you mean on your morning beverages?
Yeah, if you're taking brunch, you get a Greyhound.
I'm Rob Spiewak, and I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, still am. Okay. I know all the words.
Finally, today, there's no such thing as a free lunch or free cookies. A man in Florida, his name, Jalen Minzy.
Hi, Minzy.
He was arrested after allegedly robbing McDonald's on Sunday. Police say Jalen went in and put in an order. When he got his food, he demanded free cookies. When he didn't get the free cookies, he pushed the workers out of the way, went behind the counter, threw things at them, and took off with two other meals. Sounds like he did buy his original order, but that's not 100% clear either. Jalen was later tracked down at a nearby apartment complex. He was arrested and charged with battery and robbery. His defense team will probably use the Stand Up For Your Cookie law, which in Florida is part of the broader Eat or I'll Shoot legislation, made famous by Golden Corral customers who wanted to shoot people who cut the line at the roast beef carving station. Thank you very much, ladies
legendary and legislation, Mike. Legendary.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Tony Perkins is on the show. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. It's easier to start this year strong and more delicious with Omaha Steaks. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged protein delivered to your door. From a handcrafted USDA-certified tender steak to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more, they have an unmatched variety of high-quality proteins that everyone loves. Right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with the promo code, it's different, remember that, Mike, at checkout. I don't need to tell you how great Omaha steaks are, but I will. They are my favorite because they do beef right. Unrivaled quality and variety with every bite, packed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland. Omaha Steaks has been America's original family-owned butcher since 1917 and still cutting edge. Get it? Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code MIKE at checkout. Remember, new code, so pay attention. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code MIKE. Terms apply. See site for details. Tony Perkins has worked at every television station in Washington, D.C. If Channel 20 had a news program back in the day, he would have worked on that. Wait, you did work on
you started work on Channel 20.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, let's do this. If I can remember the I remember the numbers.
Okay.
Channel 4, yes.
Yes.
Currently, correct?
Yes. Yep, that's right.
Channel 7 ABC affiliate.
Absolutely, when I was at Good Morning America.
Channel 9 CBS affiliate.
Yep, WUSA.
Channel 5 Fox affiliate.
Most of my time was at Fox 5, yes.
That's every single real network.
And he also did stuff on Channel 20, but now Channel 20 is just called Channel 5 Extra or something.
Oh, that's right.
I don't even know what Channel 20 is anymore.
Channel 20 was one of the old independent kind of fun stations where they did their own real programming back in the day. And when you were on Channel 20, I was still living in and around Washington, D.C., and you did happy, happy, joy, joy stuff there, right?
Yes.
You did funny, funny stuff, right?
It was a show called DC 20 Breakaway. It came on Saturday afternoons. It was 2 hours, but I came on at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of four syndicated sitcoms. What's Happening Now? Do you remember a show called Throb?
No, but I remember What's Happening Now.
What's Happening Now?
Yeah, well, you used to hang with Rerun, Fred Berry.
Rerun, yep. Small Wonder, do you remember that show?
Oh, no! That's the worst show.
Right. So
who was on Small Wonder? Who was the star?
Little Robot Girl, that's all I
know. I don't think there was a star. It was just Little Robot Girl, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I would make fun of the shows and come on, and I would promote Caps games, and because they were on Channel 20 at the time, and all kinds of stuff. But it was great. I won an Emmy for doing that show, believe it or not.
That is great. And you've been at it a long time, and you said something the other day. I don't know whether it was on your show, the Tony Perkins show, that's come back now to the podcast world, but you had mentioned, and I don't think you don't have to say anything that's not true anymore. You're not blowing any smoke up anybody's butt. You said that the podcast format is your all-time favorite, and it might be mine as well. So you did say that, right? You meant that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So mm-hmm. you know, I credit all of this to you. You gave me a shot at doing a podcast. We talked. I asked you if I could select a co-host. You said, sure. I told you about Gary Stein, my former producer at Good Morning America, good friend. You said, whatever you want to do. And we did a podcast for 4 years on the Mike O'Mara Network. It was great. You know, we didn't make money. We didn't break through big time, but we had a nice, loyal core of listeners. Most of them had come from you, and I fell in love with the format. It's my favorite thing I've ever done because it was mine. You know, we could...
Yeah, it's personal.
Do what we want it to do, book who we want it to book, and all that kind of stuff. And that is a credit to you, and I will be forever grateful to you for that.
Gary Stein is Tony's partner. Most of our listeners that are listening to this know that. And you worked with him at Good Morning America when you were the weather guy for GMA back in the day. And Gary Stein is, outside of being just a nudge, is an accomplished photographer.
Yes, he is.
There's an expression, of course, that everybody's heard that when you marry, you outkick your coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Gary was in a different time zone when it came to outkicking his coverage with his lovely, talented wife,
Sarah Partridge,
who is a cabaret singer and a fine one at
great
that.
Great one. Yeah.
And then, you know, but Gary, there's one thing I've got, and I don't even know the man that well, but I've gotten this through the years based on his social media world, that he is an ultimately super nice human being. Very nice man. And he is funny, too.
He's right? funny. He is very nice, except to me on the podcast.
Which is the way it's supposed to be.
Right. That's right. But he's Gary. I went to Good Morning America. My first few months there on the air were very uneven because I had a different producer for every different thing that I did. And in their wisdom, someone said, you know, we got to get a regular producer who is Tony's guy, and they do stuff and develop stuff and develop a rapport. I wanted to hire someone I knew from here in Washington, D.C. They said, we want you
Donnie to Simpson, right?
I wanted Donnie to be my producer.
Beth Ann, actually.
Hey, man, I'll do it. Yeah.
Right.
I'll have one of my barbers do it. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay. So they said, we want you to meet this guy. He is the producer of Breakfast Time on Fox. It was a morning show with Tom Bergeron. And I met him. And I really wanted to hire this other guy. But in our meeting, he had watched the show. He said, listen, here's what they're doing right with you. Here's what they're doing wrong. He really drilled down. He was great. And I, at the end of that meeting, I thought, wow, I got to let my friend know that I'm not going to be able to hire him. I'm going to hire Gary. Mm-hmm. And we became the best thing about my time at Good Morning America. And it was a wonderful time. Got to meet some amazing people, work with amazing people. The best thing to come out of it was my relationship with Gary. We're best friends.
And as far as our personal background, we mention every time you come on the show that Tony and I were the same class at the American University back in the day. Tony actually took his broadcast journalism degree in, you know, technically, he's closer to what that's all about than I ever was, because I became a shock jock and Tony became a, you know, network personality, which was spectacular. And I thought, that's it. You wouldn't want to change anything.
Right.
And then, but you know, Tony, if Tony has a little wanderlust, guys, you know that.
Apparently.
You know, I mean, the man is difficult to hold down in one place. You like, and you do. You
yeah.
like to keep your feet moving. You do.
I really
you
do.
Like doing different stuff. You like meeting other people. You like working in different worlds. This is unlikely for you to come back to something you've done before, because
right.
you don't normally do that. Would I be right about that?
That is absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And so, you know, when the opportunity presents, and listen, Gary and I have talked over the years about, you know, rebooting the show and all that kind of thing. It just, it never was right. I actually entertained some other notions. Maybe I'll do a show with this person or that person, that kind of thing. And this is the honest to God's truth. Last fall, finally, Gary and I were talking, and I had a conversation. I said, Gary, we should be very proud of the show that we did on the Mike O'Mara Network. It was great fun, and that was it. You know, we did 4 years, and we did it. And it's,
yeah, and you have
done.
A following, and
yeah.
it's and people were really happy,
right.
you know, when you guys decided you wanted to come back and do it. And as far as anything significantly changed when you come back with this incarnation, is there anything that you guys said, let's start again, but let's do this? Is I mean, because I didn't ask that question off here.
Yeah,
I don't have anything to do with it. You do your own thing. What is there anything that you said we want to do it differently? Or
there were several
like
things. But unfortunately, none of them have happened. there
so
are still
it's like our show.
Right, right. There are still references. In our first episode, we did a whole segment about Ed Sullivan. You know, the
references. That's a ratings grabber.
Right,
that's right out of the Theo Von playbook.
Right. Clark mm-hmm. Gable has come up.
Yep.
Most recent show. He's got a graphic of the Titanic behind.
Sure.
It's like,
yep.
Please, can we have some more recent references? But mm-hmm. we're older guys, and you know. I guess it is what it is.
Well, you've got a new title.
We have a new title. So the show is, this time around, it's called You Gotta Be Kidding Me, with Tony Perkins and Gary Stein, because Gary
And that's a retro name.
It's that a retro name.
That sounds like something that Sid Caesar would have come up with, where it's just like, right. You gotta be kidding me.
You're right. That's right? Absolutely right. We can't, you know, we are what we are.
The late Fred Willard could do an improv on the title of that show. You might have remembered me from the sitcom, You Gotta Be Kidding Me.
That's right.
I can't do my work. And I got a real red wagon. Anyway, that's too funny.
A great thing about working with Tony is that Rob and I keep telling him yes. And it's clear that he comes from the corporate world where they need to control everything and tell him exactly what to do. So we keep giving him more freedom.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's fully used to that yet.
I have to get used to that again because, you know, you work for Fox, you work for NBC, and, you know, there's certain things you can do and you can't do. And so I do have to kind of acclimate myself.
The only network that loves to say yes is CBS. And I'm sorry you're not with them any longer.
Well, a lot of people aren't with them any longer.
God almighty.
Sadly.
CBS. CBS. Don't get me started.
We should.
Hi, I'm Barry. My name is Barry Rice. Sieg Heil.
Wow.
No, I mean, really. I mean, I've read a lot about her. Yeah. That's scary. It's interesting, you know?
Listen, when we grew up, CBS was it. CBS News, that was the
Tiffany Network.
Standard, the Tiffany Network, right.
News in particular was, for those of you that are younger, everyone, and I mean everyone who watched news would be watching a man named Walter Cronkite.
That's right.
Period. That's end right. of story. And there was never any discussion of his belief system, either by him or by anyone else. That's it right. didn't exist. That's right. How long ago it is. And
when Lyndon Johnson was president of the United States and Walter Cronkite and CBS were covering the Vietnam War and Americans began to turn on the Vietnam War, Lyndon Johnson said, if I've lost Cronkite, I've lost America.
Yeah. And CBS, and I still remember it, CBS, it was an editorial decision to run footage, actual combat footage from Southeast Asia. That was one of the major reasons people seeing it every night and getting casual reports of how many American dead every night. And you would think that things would have progressed, and they haven't. They've gone in a different direction, but that's the pendulum. As far as local news is concerned, because I really don't even know how to formulate the question as to whether that has been affected by the divisiveness, or whether you have gotten directives from people to keep it a certain lightness, which I think based on watching it, I might feel that exists today. How have you seen local news since you've been doing it so long? How has that changed over the years?
I think local stations, depending on who owns them, I think most local stations want to serve their particular market. So they may or may not. I'll say this. You know, I was at Fox 5 for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Now, the local, and it's owned by Fox, but it's a division of Fox. It's what's it called?
Owned and operated local?
Well, it's an owned and operated station. It comes under, I can't remember right now, but it propaganda? Was separate from Fox News. What'd you say?
Propaganda?
No. But because here's the thing, here's one thing that Fox does that's very smart. They say to the local stations, you know your market, do what you got to do. You know where we stand on things, but do what you got to do and make money. You know, that's what we care about.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
So
right.
Local Mike tells me the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Stop being offensive.
Do what you got to do. Make money.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the local station's different from the networks, for example. But in the day and age that we're in now, I think all of us are being careful to not... you want to report the news. You want it to be accurate. You don't want to incur the wrath of this administration, because we know that they are litigious. They will go after you. And so it does cast a little bit of a pall, I think. But within that, we certainly still try to do our job and tell you the news and what's actually going on out there.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell if you, at least I found down here in one of the reddest areas of the United States, I always kind of watch it and see, is there anybody really? And it seems that it's gotten all bland, and there's a lot more lighthearted stuff that you have as opposed to what it used to be. But you know, you've been around all the legends here, and even that is it is a rarity to have somebody that's doing it as long as you've done it. Have you ever battled any youth movements or had any new? I mean, you've worked with so many different news directors. And I've always heard, because I've never been around television news ever. Right. So all I can assume, I have heard that news, and I don't want to put you on the spot, you're still working for a news director, that some news directors can be worse than bad program directors.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's the case. It depends on where you are, what market you are, what station you are. And, you know, if you turn on the TV, I'm sure you see it there. You turn on the TV and you can tell what stations are doing the whole youth movement. They've got the women who all seem to wear the same type of dress and they're young and, you know, all that kind of thing. But there are stations, and I'm happy to say NBC, NBC, NBC4 here, it's the legacy station in Washington.
It's the gold standard,
longtime Washington legends, Jim Vance, Doreen Gensler, Bob Ryan. I mean, these are people who had their jobs forever. And what tends to happen at NBC here, people don't leave NBC until they are retiring, or they work long enough to unfortunately pass away. It is a great place to work. And NBC values the people that they hire, whatever age they are. For example, when I left Channel 9, I really thought, okay, well, that's it. I had my run in local TV news. That's great. 6 months later, I get a call from the news director at NBC4 offering me a job. And that's in my latter years,
That's cool.
Been very fortunate.
Well, it's also you. I mean, it's you. I mean, in a name and a, you know, steady Eddie in the market, which I think is, you know, something hits the fan up there. You've been there and at it long enough where, I mean, if I'm in D.C. and something's going down, I would tune to you because it would be a familiar. And that really should be taken into consideration. Right. And you can tell. And I know you wouldn't say this. You have too much class. But I'll say this. You know, when you get a 13-year-old who's, you know, in the middle of a mass shooting and they go right to this hamina hamina haim, hamina ham, it's not the same. But when you're a steady person and you've been there for the whole run, you know, it works because the person has, been there and continues to do it. Now, as far as the podcast format, you've done it all. You've worked everything from stand-up to network weather to most of your time anchoring. But the podcast, the idea of making it your own, like Rob Spiewak, you have a lot of similar passions to Rob, like the Beatles, for example. Oh, and by the way, Josh, remember that video I played last week with Jeff Daniels? Remember
George
that
Harrison.
One with the guitar? If you find that, Tony would get a kick out of that.
Where he's talking about meeting George Harrison?
Yeah, oh, you saw it? You saw that?
Yep,
oh, isn't that special where he gives him the guitar, the guitar, and he plays?
Sweet.
I mean, it's really, really amazing. Yep. So I lost my train of thought there, but I was going to get back to the idea of the podcast. How have your tastes changed over the years? Is there anything new that is it all nostalgia for you? What's the latest thing for you?
Yeah, I joke because we're all older guys
except for Josh.
Thank God Josh is around. But I have managed to stay current. That's probably another reason I'm still working today, because I'm
that
still
makes a difference.
Yeah, I'm plugged into what's going on now.
Do you think Connor helped you with that? Almost
absolutely. My son,
I mean, like almost it defaults to that. You have to follow stuff. Connor. He's got a son same age as Robert.
I wish you hadn't said that, because I was going to say Tony is very close to MMA fighter Connor McGregor.
And, well, he's also very plugged in. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Connor McGregor calls me too, and keeps me up to date.
And how old is your son now?
You're not going to believe this. He's 22. He'll be 23 in September.
Isn't that crazy? See, I'm somebody different because I started all over again. Right. I have a 30-year-old and a 28-year-old now. So and
those
and
are his daughters, not his wives. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, there are a lot of that down here. A lot of
Connor,
that.
One of the things that I love is, you know, Connor being 22, he's into today's scene to some extent. And we actually go back and forth with music. He'll play me something and I'll say, well, you know what that riff is? That's from, you know, some 70s band or something. And I'll play that for him and we will go back and forth. And it's a great way to kind of stay up on what's going on now. You know, I'm still the same person. I do have my fingers in, you know, some of the current stuff as well. So our show is not an all nostalgia show. We talk about stuff going on now. We're in the process of booking some guests. Some of those guests may surprise people because they're young. So, you know, it's still my interests, same interests, but we're trying to be a little more up to date.
How much of the content will you be generating? How many podcasts are you looking to do in the best case scenario?
Right now we are doing one a week. We hope to have some bonus episodes following the Mike O'Meara model.
Yeah, I know where you got that idea. I know he's got a mohawk, a faux hawk. There you go.
We also want to, you know, use some of our older material and you know, just say, hey, do you remember this from 2018 or whatever? So, you know, now we're just doing the one show a week.
To add on to that, this is the first time they've had a solid video presence, too.
Yes.
And they're on YouTube. So there's a different angle when you can see things, as we know from our show, when you can show things instead of just discussing them. It makes a big difference, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, Tony's a TV guy. He knows how to work the format.
When you say different angle, is that a camera angle for Gary?
Sounds like you listened to episode two.
I think Tony is very similar to you. Tony is very similar to you, Mike, that when a image is popped up on the screen, it might distract him a little bit.
I think you I know. Have laser focus, Josh, when I'm on the show.
If it's a female.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we had
that's
an issue.
The whole
we had
AU to thing. It's a different time.
Like, I just want to explain. We had to really tighten.
By the way, she's no longer with us. God rest her beautiful, lovely soul. But Tony and I were at American University. This is for the DC folks out there.
Yeah.
Tony and I were at American University, where there was not any man in the broadcast program that didn't lust in their hearts after Wendy Rieger.
Yep.
That was the day.
Right.
And Wendy was dating this behemoth of a guy with big lamb chop sideburns. And he just looked like he could kick all of our asses simultaneously.
Was it Paul Barry?
It was not Paul Barry.
But Mike, just to let you know about the distraction issue,
that's a good local reference. That makes me laugh out loud.
If you listen to, I believe, episode 3,
yeah.
There is a Jake break on the show when I put up a picture of Pam Grier. I mean, it stops.
In her day.
Oh my goodness.
As recently as Jackie Brown.
Yes.
That's right.
Where she, Pam Grier, and if you watch Jackie Brown, a lot of people have, that's Pam Grier in her late 40s, probably early 50s, maybe
50s.
Maybe, yeah, I would think 50s. Yeah.
And she still has that. And unfortunately, God, time flies, man. I mean, I'm watching, I've been talking on my show about watching Peaky Blinders and how that clock on the wall moves. And, you know, at our age, you've had health issues that you've had to deal with. And we think about our own mortality. It's a natural state when you move on. And Peaky Blinders lost one of the main characters, and she never told anybody. So you see this in memoriam of Aunt Polly. That was her character.
Mm.
Phenomenal actress.
Wow.
Helen McCrory, I think it was. That was the name of the actress. And you just realize how time really, really does fly.
You mentioned Wendy Rieger, who we all had a crush on.
Great personality, too.
Yes.
Who we lost a few years ago.
Right.
Far too young.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks.
These things are starting to happen.
And she was behind the scenes. Wendy was the classic body boozy broad.
I'd she love just, to hear her swear. Oh my God, it was the greatest.
Because she came up with all, you know, the Goldies and Dave Adler right. and all yeah. these DJ guys that are all like,
she stayed that way. She yes. stayed
yeah,
that way.
Yeah, she did.
She
yeah.
had the edge. She yeah. had the edge. Well, listen, the new show rebranded for 2026.
Yes. You got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you can deliver it a lot of different ways. Ooh,
sure.
Yes. Yeah, I'll give you that. You can tell. Josh can collect them for you. Go. You got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me.
Little Eddie Murphy there. I like that.
You got to be kidding me.
Charlie.
All right. That's it. That's all I got.
Thank you know what, Mike, about You Gotta Be Kidding Me? You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, and leave 5 stars. Drops every Tuesday. Watch the full video episodes on YouTube. And don't forget to check out The Tony Perkins Show on Facebook. Get all this information at thetonyandgaryshow.com. You gotta be kidding me.
Thank you, Tony. If you bump into Donnie, Donnie Simpson, legendary radio personality, television personality from Washington, D.C., just see a nice interest rate if it could peel me off about $20,000. I could use it right now.
Well, me first. Me first.
Right. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank local you,
guys. Thank you, Tony Perkins.
Thank you, Tony.
To see
awesome.
You, Mike.
Great
Love
to
you
see
guys.
You. Take care, buddy. We'll be
you
right
too.
Back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Folks, I'm not getting any younger. In fact, none of us are. It seemed like energy crashes at 2 p.m. became my new normal. So naturally, I went down to the internet rabbit hole and started Googling symptoms like a hypochondriac. Low T kept coming up. Here's the thing. Doctors act like testosterone replacement therapy is no big deal. Just weekly shots for the rest of your life. Cool. Thanks, Doc. Then you dig deeper and you realize what you're actually signing up for. $3,000 a year to shut down your body's natural production forever. Terrifying. So I'm making things easier on my body the natural way. I'm taking Mars Men, a natural testosterone stack that optimizes your body's ability to forge usable testosterone. Mars Men is like hitting the reset button on your hormone factory instead of shutting it down. It gives me more consistent energy, stronger lifts, and better focus. It's a steady drive all day, not the quick spike you get from caffeine or injections. Plus, there's a 90-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Thousands of guys are feeling incredible results. Just check it out. Check out the reviews on the website and see for yourself. For a limited time, TMOS listeners get 50% off for life plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. It's a perfect way to start feeling strong right away. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that TMOS sent you. Well, children, gather round. The weather is getting warmer, and that means that the bugs are coming. Critter City, sweetheart. Now, I'm known as a do-it-yourselfer, so I do not pay top dollar for a crooked pest control company to kill my bugs and my wallet. I use Pesty. Aha, Pesty is do-it-yourself pest control. Their kit makes it so easy, it only takes a few minutes to apply. And with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment. $35. You'll get a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. The kit includes a reusable electronic sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide gloves, and instructions. Follow these glorious instructions, and you can complete your application around your house in less than 10 minutes. I've done it. Rob's done it. We love it. Pesty gets rid of over 100 types of bugs. Plus, Pesty is kid and pet friendly. The pesticides they ship have been used in hospitals and schools all over the country. That means it kills ants, but your uncles stay alive. Best of all, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked. Keep the bugs away with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off. Pesty, it's the bestie. Always nice to have Tony on the show, and really, really excited that that show is going to be coming back, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I have to give props to somebody busted by balls. Nodak 701, you are absolutely right when I said as recently as Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown release date 1997.
The last century, Mike. Yeah,
it was. It's really, really, really something else.
Those pre-recorded interviews open the door for all those West Coast people that don't want to get up at 8 a.m.
Love to. Yeah. We'll look forward to more of that on the show. Yes, Jackie Brown, a very old movie. But Pam Grier was 1970s. Yeah. That's when all the black exploitation films were coming out, and
Coffee,
you know,
is another one of her classic.
Yeah,
movies.
Yeah. So that's why I did that. But it's funny. Somebody says I like being old. I do too, actually. Without further ado, let's get right to the beautiful video.
Hey, I like
video.
That. Some beautiful video. Jerry Todd.
Mike, for some reason I'm blanking. Is JFK the airport in Philadelphia?
No, JFK is in New York.
Okay, what's the Philly airport?
It is Brotherly Love Get Mugged International.
That's a great airport, but if you want to beat the lines, I know there's a lot of trouble at TSA, there's a new landing approach.
This was not the traffic drivers were expecting. A small plane coming in for an emergency landing right there in the eastbound lanes of I-78. In Lehigh County.
I was seriously thinking, like, oh my gosh, it's gonna hit cars. Like, what's gonna happen?
Cordelia Winkelspecht watched it all from.
What's her name?
Cornelia Winkelspecht, Mike.
Cornelia Winkelspecht. She's like a very lovely young lady, Cornelia Winkelspecht. Wow.
How about this, though? Nobody was hurt. On the
that
ground
was a beautiful
or
landing.
In the plane.
It was that plane was in distress. A beautiful landing. I think that's amazing when that happens. Very, very cool.
Now, it's been a while since an artist has really taken over the Hot 100. Elvis did it. The Beatles have done it. And, you know, it happens once in a while. But this is an older guy, and I have to give him credit. His name is Eddie Dalton. He has 11 songs on the iTunes Hot 100 and 2 in the top 10. He has the number 3 album in the world right now. And this is one of his songs. It's called Another Day Old. And, you know, I appreciate... when an older guy can actually, you know, crack the Hot 100. I think it speaks well of music.
Old school.
Eddie Dalton.
I don't move as good as I used to. Some days it takes me a minute or two. But the world keeps turning.
Like the only thing that's sort of a curveball is that he's AI. He does not exist.
Wow.
And the thing that trips me out is I like it. I could listen to this.
I was sitting here. I was jamming to it. And I said, it's interesting that you don't have a video of him. But, it was.
I'm sure we'll get one soon enough.
Right. Read up quick. Hey, he beat you, Scoob. He beat you. Sorry. You know, people are so quick. That's AI, you know. You know it already. There you go.
All right. Mike, if you're on a council for a school board, it's important to behave. You really must. Mm-hmm. Telling a student that stands up to speak that is not yet 18, God, you're hot, is not okay.
Hey, this is buzzing news this morning in East Tennessee. A clip from Washington County school board meeting now has been raising red flags.
A school board member's comment toward a student is causing some concerns. Listen to this.
God, you're hot.
You know that? Where do you go to school at?
Would they pixelate out the guy?
There was.
They pixelated out
they
one of the guys on the board.
Pixelated out the council member? The school?
No.
The hot not, guy.
No. They kept another guy that was on the council that probably didn't sign a release form. But the guy that was speaking was actually.
You got to play it again because I got it. Do you know which guy we're to be looking at?
I think it's in the center.
That I want to make sure.
Right. Toward a student is causing some concerns. Listen to this.
God, you're hot.
You know that? Where do you go to school at?
I have a Crockett.
All right.
There was a comment meant to be, I guess, complimentary by a board member.
It was meant to be complimentary, Mike.
I wish I knew which guy. They're all old, fat old guys up there.
Exactly.
You know, doing
that. It's not okay.
Rob Spiewak, if you don't look, you die.
That's true, but you don't need to scream it.
No, it's disgusting. It's creepy. It's not disgusting. It's creepy. And by the way, for those that may not be in the know, womb to the tomb for a lot of men. Like you still look and you do. What is gross is if a guy still thinks he's got, you know, he's got it going.
Oh, there he is. That's
the
guy who
made the comment.
That's quite a mustache.
That's a great pull. Did you find that on the fly, Josh?
Yeah, yeah. And the pixelation is the hot person that they're
talking about. Oh, okay. The hot girl is pixelized.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
okay.
A Washington Farmers Co-op, so that's good. It's just, you know, I'm always thrown by that phrasing because it makes me think of, do you remember when Regis was accused of flying to Notre Dame and he had a girl in Notre Dame? And when he seduced her, he kept saying, God, you're cute.
God, you're so cute.
You're so cute.
Man, take out the pom-poms. Yes, no,
that's right.
I think it's even creepier because it looks like he's like putting his arm around the girl while saying it.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
That's not funny.
No, it's
I'm
not.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
It has to stop. This must stop. Mike, let's close with this because I know that you and I both are on the receiving end of the wife in our house going through our cards. Like they go through and they see what we've charged or debited each day and they question it. This is an amazing story from a comic I'd never heard of him named Elon Altman. Okay. Ordering Chinese food, and I like the way it plays out.
My wife is great, but she's not perfect. Her flaw is she doesn't like Chinese food. That means that whenever I'm craving Chinese food, I wait until she's not home, and then I get delivery from my favorite place. There's a restaurant called Han Dynasty. It's great. I never told her I was getting delivery from there because it didn't seem like a big deal. But she caught me one day and got really mad about it. What happened was I wasn't home. She was looking at our credit card statement, saw the restaurant's website on there, HanDynasty.com. But she read it as H-A-N-D-Y, handy, N-A-S-T-Y, nasty. HandyNasty.com. So she did not think that was a Chinese restaurant. She thought some kind of adult website that specializes in nasty hand jobs, which as some of the guys here know is handynasty.net.
Good, well written, well terrible delivery, well she constructed.
But you know what? It was pretty good. And later on he says, I didn't think it would be a big deal. Your father recommended it. So
that's funny. Well, that was a full show. I appreciate it. I want to thank Tony Perkins for coming on and talking about the You've Got to Be Kidding Me, his new show. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. Thanks for all the good work. And Rob, thank you for sending me those Peaky Blinders tapes. I'll be obnoxiously playing them on tomorrow's show. I'm looking forward to
that. I cannot wait. This is exciting.
For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
What the hell's going on here?
Just thought we're almost finished. Good. Golly, Miss Molly.
Hey, it's Gary Busey. Listen to this.